Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Charity, for such a beautiful special music. It's nice to be, when you think about home, it's so wonderful. Uncle, if you look at that board that's on the wall, you will see different names on there, Uncle. Yes, Damien, I see those names on the board. Uncle, if you only had entered that contest, you would have won the contest because the gentleman in your age bracket, he's 50 years old, and he only bench pressed 185 pounds, and I see you, Uncle, you're bench pressing 341 pounds, and you're doing squats, and you're doing different 45 degrees. You would have won the contest, Uncle, if you had only entered the contest. Yes, Damien, I understand that. Grandpa? Yes, Josiah. The color of your color is different from my color. Why, Josiah? Your color is gray, red, black, and my color, Grandpa, is clear. Yes, Josiah, I understand that. Lionel, it's your turn. I need you to come to this basin. I need you to lay back. I need you to put your head down this way so I could wash your hair. Okay, Anita, I'll do that. Lionel, there's something wrong with you. What do you mean? There's something wrong with you. Your color is different from our color. Come. Look at his eyes. His eyes are yellow. His skin is gray. You better check with the doctor. So, but I can't see my color. That's because it's you. So on we go to Kaiser. The doctor confirms that I'm jaundiced. I'm yellow. My eyes are yellow. My body's starting to turn gray. What does that do to? Well, finally, we have to take a blood test. So, next thing, blood test. The doctor asks, what did you eat? What did you do? I said, Doc, if I only knew, I would tell you. If I only knew, I would tell you. The blood test comes back. My bilirubin is at 33, and the normal is 1. The long battle starts to go now. Is it hepatitis A? Is it hepatitis B? Is it hepatitis C? I was overwhelmingly surprised. I was shocked. I was very, very shocked. If I only knew what I did wrong. Going through the process of elimination, I looked at my micro water. I didn't change the filter for 2 years and I've been drinking water. Could it be the micro water filter? Is it possible that what I was suffering from is what Brother Victor was suffering from? Because I had gone up onto the roof and I had to clean out the gutter, and I know that the rats would go up there and they would do something that is not good for me. Could it be that? Is it because I had eaten at, gotten a takeout from Ayutthaya restaurant, and maybe they put something in it? Or could it be because after I left Ayutthaya restaurant, I went out back and on the fence There's a nice growth of plants. Could it be? Is it because I had picked the top of the potato leaves? Because I'm part Filipino. I love potato leaves. So could it be that I picked the potato leaves at the top and I had a whole bunch and I put it into my lunch and I went back to the office and I washed it? Could it be that I did not wash it good? And could it be that there was some chemical on it that made me start this disastrous process in my life? Well, with God's help, I was able to narrow what I was going through down to something very serious. I was caught off guard. I had taken a body building enhancement supplement that attacked my liver. But I didn't know it until I had called different people and found out others were suffering the same thing, that they themselves were deceived. And so we had gone to Honolulu to Amy Cam's wedding. And our intention was to go Friday, which we did Friday early. And since I was going there, we decided to go to Kaiser. At Kaiser, we met with the doctor. And the doctor says, you know, what we've been taking. So in the process of elimination, we went down to that supplement, which I didn't know anything about. I was deceived like some of the others. So I was getting dehydrated. So they put me into a room and they filled me up with IV for 4 hours while my family had gone their way. And couldn't do anything, just stayed in the hotel. And what happened was people were telling me about Aveeno. So when I got Aveeno, before you know it, I was in the bathtub taking Aveeno. It helped. It helped. But it would flare up again. Couldn't go to church. I was itching all over because there was a blockage. There was a blockage in my liver. The bile was not going through. So everything was going into my whole system, and it couldn't get out. We went to our brother Sam Ning's place in Newtown Chiropractic, and he started to clean me out. And it was good. I went to 3 sessions while there. And he wanted me to come back and forth, but I said I couldn't, so we just returned home. And what Brother Adonis taught us through Brother Danny Vieira, do the coffee cleanse. So I was doing that too. Went to Angel Farms here in Paradise Park. Had a clean out. Went to the 10-day session several years before. So what I've learned, I started to do that to the clean out. It was helpful, but I was still itching all over. As opposed to Job, where he was scratching because he had boils, I was just scratching, scratching, scratching. My whole body was itchy to the max. But there was one thing that the lady at Angel Farm said that stuck in my mind. She says that your liver regenerates itself 4 to 6 weeks after. So I asked the doctor, is it so? He said, well, it's a myth. I said, okay. In the meantime, I was losing a lot of weight. From 210, I was gradually going down, 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 because the message from the doctor was, stay away from the fat and drink a lot of water. So staying away from the fat, so you read everything. Everything has fat, so you're staying away from a lot of food that I'm supposed to be eating, until I had gone to Kaiser, and they gave me everything. I knew they had fat, so I came back home and said, well, I'm going to eat. But still, my body was cannibalizing itself. I was depleting, 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 down from 210 to 151, where I bottomed out. I was all shriveled up. My cousin would call me, and he would pray for me. He said, I'm going to get some ahina-hina for you. So he went, and he got some ahina-hina for me. And I started to drink it. but I didn't know it was medicinal, so I was taking so much, and it shot my bilirubin up even more. From 33, it went up to 39. And so I was going through a lot of medications. I was caught between one way and another way, and I was taking Benadryl, and one night I overdosed myself, and I said, oh my goodness, I couldn't even stand up. So my wife, and God bless, I thank you for my wife, she stayed right by me, because it says, you got to stay by me, because I'm on the verge of just killing myself, because I didn't know what I was taking. I just stand up, next thing I'm on to the bed, and I told her, if you see me sleeping, just slap my face so that I'll be awake. From there, going to the emergency room, getting different type of treatments there. Then another thing, going to the emergency room again, where I saw Brother Alan Wong, but I didn't know that was him. I was walking out, I was so delirious, because I was falling over, because my blood pressure was 84 over 48, and I was just collapsing everywhere. And I heard Brother Allen say, Lionel, I can't do the marathon, because he hurt his knee. But I was so delirious, I just went home. I started still going on with the diet, staying away from the fat, drinking a lot of water. Then it was so bad that I was falling down and had convulsions. My wife was there. She said, I'm going to take you to the doctor. So we went to the doctor. Finally, we convinced the doctor to air vac me. So the doctor air vac me to Honolulu, to Kaiser. And there we were. It was from September 6th to the 14th. And it cost $23,000 just for a one-way trip on that tiny little airplane. Then what happened over there, the doctors made me go through different tests, and this one doctor told me, sit up. So I would sit up. He said, put out your hand. So I put out my hand. He said, push your hand. So I pushed him, and he flew to the wall. And he says, oh, your liver is bad. You need a liver transplant. So he calls my wife up, and my wife said, what? She took the next flight and came over, and I said, well, if I need a liver transplant, I need a liver transplant. But lo and behold, at the end of a little over a week, went home. But I had so many flare-ups. I moved from the master bedroom to the living room, from one part of the living room to the next part of the living room, back to Jeff's bedroom, then to the guest room, back to the living room, because I needed something cold. I had to sleep on the sofa because the sofa was cool. Next, the doctors would give me hallucinogenic type of drugs. And some of them were so bad that I could picture myself in a coffin, looking up as people walking by, crying over me, praying over me. And the next thing, I'm in the grave, I'm looking through the casket, looking through it, I see people dropping down flowers, Pukinikini, plumeria, all kind of flowers, and throwing dirt, and next they're burying me. And then the next scene shifts to another dream that I had, that I was at the top level of our home, in a tri-level home, so I hung the rope, tied it to the door, hung it down, and I was hanging myself. And next thing I knew, my liver was so sore that we had to call Dr. Cam at Kaiser, and she called the doctor, and she told the doctor what was happening. And the doctor said, stop what you're doing. Go into the refrigerator, get some baking soda, mix it with water, drink it, sleep on your left side. I did all that. And I said, go get some Maalox. So they went and get some Maalox. My wife said, only take a teaspoon. And here I was tanking it down because it was so, so bad, you know. I was crying out to God, you know, take me already, God, just take me. Because I can't handle it. It's so hard. You know, it's just like everything, you're just scratching. Anything, it just flares you up. And then we went to a friend of ours, Beatrice Freitas. And I asked the doctor, should I go? Can I have a massage? Maybe that will help me. He laughed at me. He says, well, you know, I'd like to have a massage too. That would feel good. But we had gone to her because of her track record. She found a tumor in my wife. a massage therapist. And it's a long story behind that, but because of her track record, we went to her. And what she did when she first saw me, I couldn't even ride a car. So she came to our house. And when she came to our house, she looked at me. I was gray from top to bottom. My eyes were yellow. And she said, "Oh no, he's on the verge of dying." However, she looked at the tips of my feet and saw little reddish color there. And she said, "There is hope. There is hope." And she would massage me 3 hours straight, 3 or 4 times a week. We would drive out to Glenwood. She would massage me 3 to 4 times a week, 3 hours straight, would flush me, because my lymph nodes were all congested, plugged. And when she pressed every place, it was sore, because it was all filled with to capacity. And she would go into the forest to look for this special coli tree, but didn't have. So she went to her niece's place, and the niece had a coli tree. And so she would strip the bark of the tree, about this long, and she would boil it, and I had to drink it every night for 40 days. 40 days. So every night I drank it, and that made me go to sleep. I had to take Ambien too so I could sleep, because I could not sleep. I was on the verge of dying. But with her help, the toxins started to flow out of me. Came out of me slowly. Because the first 10 days of the 40 days is for your skin. And she took us down to South Point. And she gave me a salt water bath from pure Hawaiian salt that she collected from South Point. She would massage me out in the sun, gave me a bath for 2 hours in the hot sun. So for the first 10 days, it cleans out your pores, and that's why she rubbed all the Hawaiian salt on me. The second 10 days, that dealt with your organs. So it cleaned out all my organs. And the third 10 days dealt with your brain. So it cleaned out my brain. And the last 10 days covered the joints. It cleaned out the joints. And lo and behold, what she had learned was what Dr. Carol Hanchett, Dr. soon-to-be Clayton Hanchett's wife, gave me the castor bean oil. And that tree is a castor bean tree that God had designated to help people. But you need to be careful, because there are two that looks exactly like it, but it's poisonous. And the one is the one to take, and she knew it because she was trained that way. And so there was, because of that, and with the doctor's assistance and my wife, and through the prayers of everyone, there was a turning point in my life. On July 22, my color changed. From the pale looking, then it turned to brown. So I started to count 4 to 6 weeks. I marked it on the calendar. And by September 7, I was back at work part-time. And lo and behold, during the 3.5 months that I was completely out, ice packing my neck, my back, my groin area, just to walk from one place to the other, I had to think to get to there and what to do. But during this 3.5 hours, praise God, the income of my law practice did not go down. It stayed same, and it went up, because Carol and Brent stepped to the plate. And with God's assistance, and that's why what Brother read in Malachi 3:10, you can say, "Prove me now herewith." And God proves it to you. It's so wonderful that God will keep you on your business on a level plane and increase it. And, you know, it was all by the grace of God and his love, along with my wife Carol's love and patience, long-suffering, perseverance, complemented by the prayers of family, the prayers of church family. It's only by God's grace that I am alive today. And all glory goes to God. Because without God, without my wife, without church family, I wouldn't be here today. Judges were praying for me. They would send me cards. Opposing attorneys would pray for me, and they said, Lionel, no problem. We'll just move the thing. We'll take it off the calendar. When they didn't have to, they could have stick it to me, and I would have been out. But they prayed for me. Even to today, the judges still call me. They ask me, how are you doing? I said, by the grace of God, I am alive. Thank you for your prayers. You know, if I only knew what I had taken, if I only checked it out, if I only wasn't deceived, if only I was careful, if I only studied it, but it was only if only. But by God's grace, I was able to cross the line on December 14 in the marathon race. But I remember what Brother Alan Wong told me to take. He told me, make sure you have some lihing mui and you hydrate yourself at every water stop. So that was in my mind. But before that, my mind was really, when I was going through this, my mind was terrible, terrible. I couldn't think. But you know, in life's journey, we're all involved in a race. And that's why if we look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience, as we've learned today. Let us run with patience the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. We run a race, brothers and sisters. In 2 Timothy 4, 7, it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, to run a race, our minds must be strong, must be steady. And in Mind, Character, and Personality, at page 407, it says, the Lord would have our minds clear and sharp. I wish my mind was clear and sharp when I was tempted as a gym member. Able to see points in His word and service, doing His will, and depending upon His grace. Depending on His grace. Vital energy is imparted to the mind through the brain. Therefore, the brain should never be dulled by the use of narcotics or excited by the use of stimulants. I was caught in the use of a stimulant. If you turn to your handout, you will see the third paragraph. It says, and it's for mind, character, and personality. It says, for thousands of years, Satan has been experimenting upon the properties of the human mind, and he has learned to know it well. By his subtle, and you see the parentheses there, subtle now, delicate, elusive, difficult to understand, distinguished, obscure, artful, crafty, cunning, His subtle workings in what? What days? These last days. And are we living in the last days? He is linking the human mind with his own. So how is it possible? Imbuing it with his thoughts. Whose thoughts? Satan's thoughts. And he is doing this work in so what? Deceptive a manner that those who accept his guidance know not that they are being led by him at whose will? Satan's will. The great deceiver hopes to confuse the minds of men and women that none but his voice will be heard. How's he doing this? How's he doing this? You know, brothers, we are no competition against Satan. Why fool ourselves? Because it says, for thousands of years, Satan has been experimenting upon the properties of the human mind. If he's been experimenting for thousands of years, and some of us, like we have babies, we have for us, we have finite years. But here it says, he's been experimenting, and his subtle, delicate, elusive, difficult to understand, obscure, artful, crafty, cunning workings in these last days. But you know, our strength comes from the word grace. It says, what is grace? There are two definitions. Unmerited favor. Okay, what is unmerited favor? If you look in the dictionary, the Webster's dictionary, it says, grace is unmerited divine assistance. Do we need assistance against Satan and his subtleness? Sure. I mean, we're no match. It's slam dunk, right? It's like I was reading the news. Hilo High School against La Pohoihoi High School, where I graduated from. I mean, everybody say, oh, slam dunk against La Pohoihoi High School. Why? Because we're no competition. We don't have the talent. We don't have the players as compared to Hilo. It's a slam dunk. But it says, unmerited divine assistance given man for his what? Regeneration. Or sanctification. And what is sanctification? It's the act of sanctifying, purifying, consecrating, freeing us from sin. Set apart, or for a sacred purpose or a religious use by the sanctifier. And who is the sanctifier? The Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Spirit, Parakletos, he's our advocate. He's our advocate. Isn't it wonderful to have our advocate on our side? And drop down to the next paragraph. It says, the Holy Spirit is the lowest of all gifts? No, no. What's the authority for that? Desire of Ages, page 671. That's the authority. The Holy Spirit is the highest of all gifts that he could solicit. Who is he? Jesus. Solicit from his Father for the exaltation of his people. The Spirit is to be given as a regenerating agent. And that's why I thank God that the liver of all organs in the body can regenerate itself. Of all the organs, the liver can regenerate itself. And I needed regeneration. The Holy Spirit was given. For God so loved the world that he gave, right? His only begotten Son. He didn't say, I'm not giving. He gave his only begotten Son. He's giving to us the Holy Spirit as a regenerating agent. And without this, the sacrifice of Christ would have been of no avail. The power of evil had been strengthening for when? Centuries. And the submission of man to the satanic and was to this satanic captivity was amazing. Sin could be resisted and only overcome only through the mighty agency of the third person of the Godhead. Isn't it wonderful? That's the way we're going to resist it. We cannot do it out of our own power. We don't have our own righteousness, right? Our righteousness goes to Jesus Christ, who would come with no modified energy. Can you imagine? No modified energy, but in the fullness of divine power. With divine power, can we stand against Satan? Amen. All right. It says, it is the Spirit that makes effectual what has been wrought out by the world's Redeemer. It is by the Spirit that the heart is made pure. Through the Spirit, the believer becomes a partaker of divine nature. Isn't it powerful? Through the Spirit, we become partakers of divine nature. And if we become partakers of divine nature, can we stand against Satan? Christ has given His Spirit as a divine power to overcome all hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil and to impress His what? Whose character? His own character upon His church. Isn't that beautiful? Because, you know, brother and sister, we're at the very edge of the close of probation. And what is probation? It's a testing of our character. We're headed for probation, because later I'm going to discuss down at the last paragraphs or so. We're on probation, the testing of our character. But if we have the Holy Spirit within us, what is going to be our character? It's going to be Christ's character. Amen. Not our character, it's Christ's character. So we're not afraid of the close of probation. Right? So if we look at the word unmerited means it's not earned. When I was a Boy Scout, we had to earn so many merit badges. We would ride our bikes from La Poihoi all the way into Hilo on a one-speed bike and ride it all the way back, 50 miles, and then you get your merit badge. As a Pathfinder, we would take the group from Hilo, from the church, we'd ride all the way out here, zigzagging here, down Maku, Becca, and all the way back to earn our honors. But here, it's unmerited. It's given to us. And it's divine, not satanic. And it's assistance. It's nice to be assisted, right? Yesterday and the day before, we were in Honolulu, involving this one case. And there's so many parties involved. And I knew that if this young girl who was mangled did not have the assistance, the legal assistance, the state, the other attorneys would have ripped her apart. Even if she looked so ugly, even if she didn't have her hair on, they would have ripped her apart because they would have put the blame on somebody else instead of themselves. Because all they had to do was call CPS. All they had to do was call the police. But they dilly-dallied around. And they're trying to say the parents at fault when the daughter was at school. And His divine assistance is given to us by the sanctifier. And the sanctifier is the highest of all gifts that God has given us. The Son of Man came into the world to unite the very life of God with the human life of man. Isn't that powerful? To unite the very life of God with the human life of man. When He completed His work by obedience, death, resurrection, He was exalted to His throne that the Holy Spirit, which had dwelt with Him, might come as this all-prevailing sovereign presence, and the disciple becomes a participant in His very life. Isn't that beautiful? So the life of the Creator penetrates the life of the creatures. Thus we find what the Holy Spirit is doing for us. It's not us doing it. As we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, it's the Holy Spirit that does it for us. And it doesn't become works. It's just letting the Holy Spirit work for us. The Spirit of God produces new life in the soul and bringing the thoughts and desires to obedience to the will of Christ, and the inward man is renewed in the image of God. If you look in your bulletin, it says, what's the vision of the church? The Puna Church is to restore the image of God in man. With the Spirit of God producing new life in the soul, bringing the thoughts and desires into obedience, the will of Christ and the inward man is renewed, quotes, in the image of God. So that's the answer. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit came down as Christ's official representative
and successor to make individual an efficacious redemptive work. He came in a supernatural power in the Spirit of Christ. And as we accept the highest of all gifts of God, as we welcome the Holy Spirit in our lives as an honored guest, it produces new life. And we have the inner adornment of Jesus through the Holy Spirit within our life. You know, if you look in your handout, it says here, the greatest want. And what does want mean? Lack. The greatest lack of the world is the want or the lack of men. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as a needle to a pole. And men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. That's the greatest want. You know, we're going through serious times, brothers and sisters. Why is it serious? Because we are told that young Sabbath keepers are given to pleasure seeking. This is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:97. I saw that there is not one in 20 who knows what experimental religion is. They are constantly grasping after something to satisfy the desire for change, for amusement. And unless they are undeceived, their sensibilities are aroused so that they can say from the heart, I count all things but loss for the excellency and knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And there's another citation that says, it is a solemn statement that I make to the church that not one in 20 whose names are registered upon the church books are prepared for the close of their earthly history and would be verily without God, without hope in the world. I lay down my pen and lift up my soul in prayer that the Lord would breathe upon his backslidden people who are dry bones as they may live. The end is near, stealing upon us so stealthily, so imperceptibly, so noiselessly, like the muffled tread of a thief in the night, to surprise the sleepers off guard and unready. May the Lord grant to each one of us the Holy Spirit upon hearts that are now at ease. And follow me now. Christians should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. And this preparation they should make by diligently studying the Word of God and striving to conform their lives to its precepts. God calls for a revival and a reformation. Brothers and sisters, I was deceived. I was deceived. But you know, by the grace of God, I am alive. And by the grace of God, God will grant us the Holy Spirit. If we accept the highest of all gift of God, as we welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives and as an honored guest, which proves we provide produces new life, we will be able to distinguish between truth and error. We will be able to be prepared for the hindrances that is within the church. And is with solemnness, I'm reading this following paragraph, okay? It says, we have more to fear from within than without. These hindrances to strength and success are far greater from the church itself than from the world. But how often have the professed advocates of the truth proved the greatest obstacles to its advancement? The unbelief indulged, the doubts expressed, the darkness cherished, encouraged the presence of evil angels and opened the way for the accomplishment of Satan's devices. And the citation for this, the reason why I like to have citation, just like the practice of law, whatever I say is not my words, it's from Bible, Spirit of Prophecy. First Selected Messages, 122. Last Day Events, 157. If you look at your handout, you see on the left side, angels, the three angels. You look at the bottom right, what do we see? A flicker flame. Okay? Am I making it plain? What are we here for? What do we stand for? I was in the Constitution Bylaws Committee meeting. They wanted to move this and just delete it from the Constitution. Am I making it plain? So you look at the logo. And another citation is this. Back in 1990, Carol and I and our children were at the General Conference. And I didn't know this statement was made. So we have to be on our guard. By Shirley Burton. And back in 1975, 76, or strike that, around 1979, one of our brothers and sisters were sued by the state because they had wanted to keep their child out until the age of 7 to put her in school. So they got sued, and we appeared before Judge Yim. And lo and behold, Thursday and Friday, in the mediation, Judge Yim was there. So I shook his hand and I squeezed it hard, and he remembered me. Because they brought our brother and sister, the Ivan Hokio case from Haula Church, brought them to court. They were going to imprison them because they did not want to put their child in school at the age of 5 or 4. And Shirley Burton was our expert witness that testified for us on our behalf as to why a child should be allowed not to go to school earlier. But this is the statement she makes now. Shirley Burton, 1990, where Carol and I were there. I didn't know this was going on. Shirley Burton, the spokesperson for the denomination, told the Indianapolis Star Daily Newspaper, the tract, and that tract is the United States in Prophecy. That tract is trash. Is it trash, brothers and sisters? It's not trash, brother. It's not trash, sister. It's right on point because the United States, as predicted, is a superpower. And we know what the United States is going to do, right? It's going to speak through the legislature, correct? And you know what's going to come on? The National Sunday Law. And then what else? Then comes the international, right? So we are very, very, very near the end. Don't get me wrong, okay? Don't get me wrong, but we need to not be deceived. And that's why if you look down at the bottom paragraph, it says, it is impossible to estimate too largely the work that the Lord will accomplish through His proposed vessels in carrying out His mind. So we need God's mind in our hearts. We need His purpose. The things you have described as taking place in Indiana, the Lord has shown me, would take place just before the close of probation. And you know what's probation? It's the testing of our character. My probation could have ended last year. I almost died. My probation would have ended. My character would have been sealed. And my character is not good. Every uncouth thing will be demonstrated. There will be shouting with drums, music, and dancing. The senses of rational beings will be so confused that they cannot be trusted to make right decisions. And this is called the moving of the Holy Spirit. No. 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 And it's going on right in our ranks because a couple weeks ago we were in Honolulu. I couldn't handle it. As soon as I saw, a hula troop coming in. You see, I've come out of Catholicism, where you follow what they say, not use your mind. It's almost like making a 360 degrees, brothers and sisters. And I'm not saying to be critical, okay? I am just saying, we need to be ready. The close of probation is upon us, whether we like it or not. And we got to be ready. Because when we see these things, the senses of rational beings are being so confused. What is confusion? Confusion is Babel. It signifies confusion. You understand? And why do we read in Revelation, come out of Babylon, right? Come out of confusion. Don't let people confuse us. Stick close. Stick close. We are near the end of time. Look at what's happening. Haiti. People say it's an act of God. No, it's not an act of God. It's an act of Satan. Don't blame God. It's an act of Satan. Right? And you see all the economical problems that we have. So many unemployment problems. Why? Because we are in the very, very last days. Do you know at volume 9, page 11 of the testimonies, it was predicted what would happen in New York City? Huh? It was predicted. So we have the assurance. We know what's going on. It's just like driving from Hilo to church today. If somebody had told me, Lionel, there was a big puka that your whole car can go in, wouldn't I appreciate that? And I would go around it? So we are being told what to expect and how to be ready. I'm not doing it to scare. I'm just doing it to basically say it's because of God's grace. God loves us. He wants to help us. Unmerited divine assistance given to man for his regeneration and sanctification. The sanctifier is the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is to purify us. Follow? Now, here in this chapter 1, I don't want to take up too much time already. Chapter 1, we are in serious times. The all-important question for us is, do I need God's grace? Do I want God's grace? Do I need the Spirit of Christ in me? Do I need an advocate? May we turn to our hymn, hymn number 108. Do I need God's amazing grace? And as we're getting that, looking at, keep in mind, Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God, through his Holy Spirit, the successor of Christ, which worketh in us both to will and to do of his pleasure. Hymn number 108.